What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Happy National Athletic Training Month. This is March 1st right now when we were recording this. We were talking with Dr. Scott Saylor, president of the National Athletic Trainers Association, about favorite CEU opportunities. So, Dr. Saylor, I know you've been on the podcast a couple times before, and really, I just wanted to find out what your favorite CEU opportunities are, because I'm sure you've been to quite a few. You get to visit a lot as part of your duties as the president of NATA and all your involvement with the Athletic Trainers Association. And so let's just discuss your favorite CEU opportunities. And of course, I have Sean Reedy here with me. He's going to be joining and discussing his as well. And then my students, Jaylene, Jose, and Liz are also helping out. And then we have one of the U of H MAT students. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hello, my name is Victor. I'm a first year master's student at the University of Houston.
All right.
Awesome.
So welcome, Victor. Thanks for joining us. All right. Without much further ado, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/favorites. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/favorites. Dr. Scott Saylor, what are some of your favorite CEU opportunities?
Well, I think probably the ones that stick out the most in my mind are the national meetings, the NATA national meeting. And it really comes down to the opportunity not only get some great content, but be around some people that you don't get to see all year long. It's like, bringing together a bunch of old friends, because often you just see each other at the national meeting, the national convention. And that really gives you an opportunity to kind of catch up, share kind of struggles you might be having back at your place, and have each other, try to help each other out. So it's important. It's such a big meeting that you find opportunities to connect with people in smaller groups. Sometimes that happens like around the exhibit hall or out in the hallways or things like that. But it's really great when you can be in a session and you're picking up some info, and then you walk out of that session and you kind of debrief with people that might have been in that session or other colleagues that might have been there. I think that's really a great opportunity. So that's one of my favorite. I always like hands-on type of things. So if I find a CEU opportunity that has a lot of opportunity to really get your hands on a model or a patient or something like that, that's always a lot of fun too. And the number one criteria that I want when I go to a CEU opportunity is really, can I go home and can I apply something right away? It's not always possible, because sometimes you're building up to the point that you can actually make use of something, or you're trying to bring yourself or increase your awareness on a particular topic that might not be pertinent today, but will be pertinent down the road. But most of the time, what I want to leave with is a lot of stuff that I can go home and put to use right away. That's really the goal.
All right. So definitely hands-on workshops, kind of following the national convention. So I got you. I'm kind of right there with you. At Memorial Hermann's that they normally put on, they always have an evaluation. Hey, what would you like to see? And I know that I specifically said I would like to see a doctor say, hey, this is how I evaluate the hand. This is how I evaluate the knee. And so then the next year at the workshop, they specifically had a doctor for like the knee, the ankle, and I think it was the hand or something like that. And it was, hey, let's just walk through an evaluation. Obviously, it was a mock evaluation because, they just have to ask for a volunteer from the audience and that kind of thing. But it's those specific things that for me is like, okay, this is something that I'm slightly missing, or I'm doing just a little bit wrong, or hey, I am doing this correctly, or this is, how this orthopedic surgeon is doing his evaluation, and mine's pretty similar, so I'm doing pretty good. And so just picking up those little tips and tricks. And so rather than just sitting and getting all day, I like to put my hands on it and move. And, with my students here, I'll make them stand up and they'll have to touch the body part that were, if I say femur, they'll have to touch that. And so that kind of thing, and though it seems like childish, it's still good for us as adults as well. So
I agree. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Another activity that I've been working on trying to put together here, because interprofessional education is so important, and we're going to see probably more opportunities to really do some more interprofessional education. I really have started to enjoy one of the opportunities I get as NATA president is to go around to not only athletic training meetings, but some other meetings. For example, I spoke at the Professional Football Chiropractors Association meeting. I spoke at, I'm going to be speaking at the Academy of Sports Dentistry meeting, which is right before our meeting in Houston this summer. I spoke at the I'm forgetting what ASP stands for, but it's Association or Academy of Applied Sports Psychology. And when I'm in those settings, it was interesting because it really gets me to think about the perspective of another professional. And I think a great activity would be just have a variety of professionals on a panel and bring in a real simple, straightforward case and have each one of them talk about how what they're trying to get from this evaluation or what their number one concern is with regard to this particular case, and have them and see that based on their training, they'll be looking for different things than I'm looking for. And once again, I'll pick up on stuff that I think, that's a good idea. I ought to be thinking about that same thing.
So yeah, case studies, that's another great way that I enjoy, because it's more practical. I just don't really enjoy the conceptual learning all that much. You know, it's good. And then there's people that can take that and then create a practical approach out of that. But for me personally, yeah, I enjoy the practical, like you said, hands-on, how can I use this today? So,
yeah, I agree.
I really think that when you start getting in with different professions, strength and conditioning coaches, physical therapists, chiropractors, they just add something to us as a profession and giving us like a little bit of a view of what they're doing, which between disciplines, we can all grow and we can all help each other and we can all actually become better practitioners because of that. And that's something that I've gotten very excited and very lucky to work with a lot of different PTs and a lot of different chiropractors that, you know, they're really open to letting us hop in and kind of learn some of these things. So I love that type of stuff.
Yeah. And they're learning from us at the same time. You know, they really get to see kind of our philosophy and approach towards care of the patient, which is, you know, helpful in both directions.
Absolutely. And then we're also educating somebody on our profession and what we do, and
right,
and giving them these athletic trainers, they're really good. They might be very good hands-on. They might have very good hand skills. They might have very good orthopedic evaluation skills, something like that as well. So,
yeah, we had an interesting experience here. We have a doctorate of physical therapy program, as well as an accredited athletic training education program. Mark currently is a bachelor's level, but I've allowed the physical therapy program to use a space that is really our teaching lab for athletic training. And they hold a musculoskeletal clinic for the campus in that space. And it's really one of their early clinical practicums that they do with their students. So they bring in a lot of physical therapists from the community who supervise their students as they're evaluating students from the campus. So when they're standing around in this facility, they get a chance to kind of read what's on the walls and see what's in the drawers and things like that. And I've got a cabinet that's got a bunch of our evaluation tools. So it's got otoscopes and ophthalmoscopes and it's just a variety of things like that. And I was told about this from a friend who was one of the physical therapy faculty and also an athletic trainer. And he said some of these community physical therapists were going through the drawers and they were picking up these items and saying, you know, why do they have these in here? And it was a really great opportunity for him to explain that that's part of our training. It's stuff that we use in application of athletic training. And, that conversation wouldn't come up unless we're interacting in kind of a real practical sense. I think interprofessional education's definitely one component of it can be sitting in the same classroom, the same material, but really when we start tackling specific cases, I think that's where we really see interprofessional education have a real value in that, where we share our perspectives on things.
All right, so real quick, I want to jump in. Victor, you're currently a Master's of Athletic Training student at U of H. What is your favorite learning style? What helps you learn best when you guys are in class?
For me, it's pretty much doing hands-on. So pretty much whatever we learn in labs, we're able to apply it in our clinical settings. So I feel like that's what helps me learn the best.
So the hands-on is best approach for you too?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. So it seems like all around best. Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say there is something to watching a video or watching a PowerPoint presentation or just hearing somebody talk about something, but then actually putting your hands on and feeling a Lachman's or feeling a manual therapy or, you know, feeling the just whatever evaluation or whatever movement that you're doing or technique that you're using. It's just, there's something about it that once you learn it, you can hear about it, you can have a thorough understanding of it. But then when you finally do it, it's like that light bulb effect that it just pops on and you understand what's going on. And it's like, oh my gosh, what have I been doing, or what has my understanding truly been?
Dr. Taylor, I really think it was really cool how you worked in the promotion of the profession of athletic training to the physical therapist. I know in California, there's between some athletic trainers and physical therapists, there's a battle between, you know, are we athletic trainers? Are you know, can we do your job? That kind of thing. But because you're inviting them into your space, you're getting to have them ask you a question about what you do. And so that's a really cool opportunity for you guys to promote what we do as athletic trainers. And so I want to encourage everybody to take that opportunity to invite them in, to invite physical therapists, chiropractors in, and let them see what you do, or go to their space and see what they do, and then build that conversation there. And again, just like Sean was saying, that's a great way to learn as well, because you're getting all those multiple disciplines. So
yeah, we would have,
that was really my goal.
So that was really your goal?
Yep, that was my goal for sure. Have a better understanding of what we do.
We were lucky with at Rice. We had a lot of different groups coming into our athletic training room. Some of the physical therapy residents, some of the chiropractic students. We had Texas Chiropractic come in, and they kind of worked with us a little bit as well. And we were very lucky there, because all of those people, all of those individuals were were coming into our space and were seeing what we did and saw that on a daily basis. Our chiropractor that we had, he's also an ATC, he's a chiropractor as well, massage therapist, excellent individual, and he understands athletic trainers. He understands what we do, but what his goal is with his students at their Texas Chiropractic School or college is teach them what we do so they understand how they can better help us, because he knows that we're very good at manual therapies. He knows that we can do different types of therapeutic modalities. He knows that we can do these rehabs, but having them work with us in that little bit of a window so that we can get the best out of our athletes. And we had the same thing with Methodist and some of our PTs that would come out, and it was really great opportunity. And a lot of them would just sit down and talk with us and educate us on some things and, you know, share knowledge. So
yeah, that's great.
All right, Dr. Taylor, I want you to specifically name a name, discuss your favorite skill learning workshop.
My favorite skill learning workshop. I'm thinking back, and I don't remember where we were. I don't remember where the meeting was being held. I think it might have been Reno, Nevada, but it was one of our district meetings. And Tony Merrick, who was past district director, as well as a guy that works mainly is just excellent in manual therapy and things. And he really helped do a workshop on muscle energy. And it was really interesting to kind of pull those pieces together. I'd not been around a clinician that had done a lot of that at the time. And this was several years ago, actually. And just to be able to have somebody that's there that can help you kind of connect it with your prior experiences and see how that really fits into your kind of what I call my toolbox, the skills that I have to be able to address the problems that walk in the door as far as injuries and things or rehabs. So I remember that one in particular, because just him going around the room and saying, you know, you just need to adjust this or, you know, here or there and you'll have it. That was so helpful. I was close. You know, you watch videos and get kind of close. You can read books and get kind of close, or read articles. But to have somebody that did it all the time. Often when you hear those people that do these things regularly and they've found great success with them, in their treatment, they will point out the things that are really important, and then the things that that are sometimes not that important, but it's hard to pick that out of a book. Sometimes the book kind of presents everything as just fact, and it, you don't know whether a real patient's going to have these conditions or not. And Tony really brought it down to a real simplified approach so that we could all leave there with some tools that we could go to work and use right away.
All right. Muscle energy. There you go. Sean, what about you?
I would probably honestly say working, getting to see something with Tony as well. He is a fantastic clinician. He works with some of the PBR and PRCA stuff as well. And I've gotten to go to 3 meetings where he does a lot of his muscle energy stuff. And it was really kind of funny that you said that, because, I mean, he is just, I mean, he's hands above a lot of professions, let alone just athletic trainers. So,
yeah, I'd agree.
So for me, the one skill workshop that I went to that that really sticks out is it was a casting and splinting workshop put on by Memorial Hermann. And I'm at a high school, I'm not really ever going to cast somebody, but I'd never experienced that. And it was something like just cool and different. And so that's the one that sticks out most is as a individual skill workshop, but just having the opportunity to do something different, to learn something and learn how to put that on, how to cut that off, the things that go into that. And so I think for me, that was the skill one. I know Mike McKinney has been on here multiple times, and him and Josh Ogden, they love the PRI, the Postural Restoration Institute workshops, and they definitely recommend those. And Lyle Danley, who's on here last week as well, does a lot of the PRI stuff. So those are some of the ones to check out.
I've never gotten to do that, but I've heard great things and really want to try some of that stuff too. So,
all right. Dr. Taylor, you done any of the dry needling or cupping courses?
No, I haven't. I would love to go learn some more about dry needling. In California, it's illegal even for anybody to do it, even physical therapy who would like to be doing it a lot right now. Cupping has been pretty popular, but I've got several friends in athletic training throughout the country who have trained their staffs and things like that in dry needling, and they're finding some great success in that. That seems to be a tool that seems to be working.
I know.
I don't know so much about cupping. I haven't got a friend that is saying, yeah, we've been doing a lot of cupping and we're having great success with it.
I know we started using cupping at Rice probably 3 years ago, I would say. We started with some of the suction cupping and stuff like that. Some of our staff that we had brought in from Texas Tech, they had been teaching it actually in their education program and their master's program out there. And I know I had kind of played with it a little bit, and we started using it. And it's one of those things. I think that you get guys that come in and they say, oh, I love that. I feel great. The decompression, the fascial decompression is actually, I guess, its true name. But and then we started using some different types of cups and some of the fire cups and things like that. And we've had excellent, excellent experiences with it, and I actually have purchased some myself and used them on different people that I work on. And our dry needling, obviously in the state of Texas, our licensure allows that. And so training with Sue Falzone and her structure and function, that was, I mean, just getting to work with her and spend the time and just kind of absorb some of her education that she gave, I would recommend that. And I know she's coming up with a lot of different courses, and she has several courses outside of the dry needling courses. But
yeah, she's awesome. We had her come to Fresno years ago and speak mainly about, at the time she was still working with the Dodgers. She was not the head athletic trainer at the time, but she came, spoke, did a great presentation on shoulder and things, and she's got such a great holistic approach to the individual. That, you know, all the parts are important, not just, you know, for example, the shoulder. She really got into nutrition and overall full body functionality and things like that. She's just really a very sharp individual.
One of my favorite things about that was that she did come in and she was, I guess, selling a dry needling class, but that was one thing that so much was pushed through the whole weekend. Obviously, we were working on dry needling, and she does some of the decompression or the cupping as well, but everything was encompassed in it. And she talked about that the entire time, about how now this approach goes with this, now this approach goes with that, and these are the things that you need to work on. So I work towards while you're dry needling.
One of the faculty members here at Pasadena High School is a chiropractor, and he's done dry needling and cupping and that kind of stuff. And so I actually had him come down to the athletic training room and show me some of the active release type. Again, you know, I don't want to say that with trademark. I'm just saying the active release type exercises. And he also did dry needling on me, because you can't do it here on the high school kids, but just to demonstrate to the kids what it is and what it does. And yes, I almost passed out, because that's how I am with needles. But
wow, so, to even volunteer to be part of it is pretty bold. Good job.
Yeah, I just barely held it together.
How did you feel afterwards?
Well, I didn't feel any different, but to be fair, he just kind of like 15 minutes worth of sticking needles in different spots rather than doing an actual treatment.
Right.
So I don't think
you were being treated for a particular problem. Right.
Right. Right. It was more just of here, let me show you what this is and why we do it. So he was kind of talking to the kids while he was sticking the needles in me. So, all right, Victor.
Sure. You passing out.
Yeah, actually I did in the middle of it. I had to say, hang on, I got to lay down. So, because we were on the table. So, yeah, I laid down and let him finish doing what he was doing. I was sticking them in my face or something. So, all right, Victor, favorite skill you've learned so far as a Master's of Athletic Training student?
Recently, spine manipulation.
Spine manipulation?
Yeah.
I would say I don't remember ever learning like joint MOBs or anything like that in college. And again, that was part of the old internship program. So I think that's really cool stuff that you're learning. I remember learning from a physical therapist when he was doing that one time as part of an evaluation, or seeing him, observing him do it, not learning. But I think that's something that I would like to do, is joint MOBs. I'd like to learn more about as well. So, all right, Dr. Saylor, have you seen any change in the quality of the CEU events or the CEUs offered since the BOC has changed and tightened up the guidelines?
Well, what we've probably seen the most of with the BOC requiring evidence-based practice, which is something as a profession we've talked about for years and years. I think what I noticed, because I got to kind of be part of the implementation, meaning that I was like, I heard it was coming, and then I got a chance to go around to different district meetings, and then I saw the kind of first year or so of people trying to implement EBP, and then even more recently, it seems like, you know, initially it was the EBP presentations were very sterile and scientific, and a lot of it was just factual information about what is an EBP and that type of thing. And now when I travel around, I'm seeing more of EBP being presented about that is really focused on. So the evidence supports these particular treatment styles or this particular treatment plan. And that really is more practical, that you get to actually see that you're efficiently applying a particular treatment because it's been supported by the evidence. In this case, and then others that just don't seem to be very well supported. So you don't, in a lot of cases, you don't need to waste your time on those. Of course, remember that patient values come into the whole thing also. So different people respond differently. Just because one particular treatment doesn't work with somebody, it might have an effect on someone else. But I think that's what I'm seeing. We kind of saw EBP presented in a way that was really people just left with just a bunch of information, not really practical information. And now I see a lot more very practical, applied. This is why we do this, and this is what we can expect to get out of it. And that's important. And actually, there's probably been, you know, for years we've had people that's been their style of presenting anyway. We just didn't call it EBP. So now we're able to say that and be able to have some pride that we as a profession do incorporate that. You know, we are interested in what's best for our patient population, and whatever seems to work, we want to stay up on top of that.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you to pick one workshop that you're going to go to every year, but it can't be the convention. You already said that one.
Okay.
All right. So Sean, I'm asking you the same thing. Okay. So Dr. Shaler, you ready?
Well, yeah.
Do you need a second?
Sure. Well, it's like it's the convention. My pick would be my district meeting. And it's just because it's a scaled down version of the same thing, the national meeting. There are different specialty sessions that I'd like to go to, maybe to go learn something like dry needling or cupping or something like that, which, you know, I wouldn't say I'd go to that every year, of course, right. because once you learn it and start applying it, you probably don't need to go to at least not the same thing. Sometimes they have advanced courses, so that's good. But that's kind of one of the nice things I think about kind of the regional meetings, either district or state or national, is there's kind of this revolving group of topics. Sorry about that. So we can kind of, you know, get a variety of things going every year. So that would be my pick. It's my district meeting.
All right, fair enough. And then, you get to see all your friends kind of socialize like you were talking about at the NATA, so... All right, Mr. Sean Reedy.
I would probably have to say, outside of the NATA meeting, National Convention, probably NSEA Convention. I really have, I enjoy the information that gets out of there. I never really get to go. If I go to the local, dependent upon the state. Obviously here in Texas, the one here in Texas is coming up. But probably something like that, because it's a little somewhat within our realm, but also that's, like I said, the step out where I can get something for my NSCA certification as well, but also bring it back to my athletic training experience and utilize it there a lot. So
NSCA, National Strength and Conditioning Association?
Correct.
Okay. All right, so
I heard others talk about that and said that it was really good.
I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off there. Say that again.
Oh, I was saying I've heard others mention the same thing and said that was a good meeting.
Gotcha. All right. I think my pick is really tough because I went to SPATS, which is South Padre Athletic Trainers Seminar for the first time this year. And that was really cool. And so if I was going to go for the whole experience, you know, where I got to take like a vacation, take my family, then I think SPATS, because it's really a comfortable learning environment. It's fun. It's on South Padre, the beach. But if I'm going to pick... I think my favorite one that I've been to learn is going to be the Memorial Hermann one, because like I said, they have the breakout sessions in the middle of the day. Like you said, you know, I get to see people that I know and talk, and you chat some in the hallway. Obviously I've done the podcast, I've recorded the sessions and interviewed all the speakers for the last 2 or 3 years. And so I get my own little personal CEU session, because I get to sit and say, hey, can you talk more about this? Hey, you know, explain this. And I get to pull other people in from the workshop as well and say, hey, can you, you know, you have some more questions. Let's just go ask them on here and share that knowledge with everybody. And so just the way they set it up, it's friendly, it's good food, it's good quality content. So if I'm going to have to pick one, it's going to be the Memorial Hermann one. If I'm going to pick two, then that gets a little iffy. So probably SPATS would be my number two.
SPATS is a good choice. I will have to say, going many times, I definitely miss going to SPATS.
I another one that I've wanted to go to for years, but I've not made it yet, is called the Big Sky Conference, and mm-hmm. It's held in Big Sky, Montana. And they set up the programming so that you can ski during the day. You kind of sessions in the morning, and then you go ski, and then you come back in the afternoon or evening and have it. And my understanding, I've looked at the list of speakers, and they're just really fresh content and really cutting edge kind of stuff. So they do a good job up there too. And it's totally free. It's funded by the sponsors. So you just have to make your way up there and get a hotel room.
Yeah, one of my buddies, he works in the NFL. He goes to that every year, and he's skied. I mean, he's skied all of his life, so his family goes on skiing trips all the time, and they've started going. And every time I look there, it's isn't it right there early January, I believe? Or
yeah, I think it is. Right around January.
Mid-late January, yeah.
Late January. It might be late January, but he's always posting some of the greatest pictures from it and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, that's a pretty cool setup. So
it's free for everybody, not just people that are in that area?
Right. It's free for anybody that registers, is my understanding.
Oh my goodness. Well, I might have to see, because I was actually Kirsten Farrell. She's in Adventist High School there in California, and she just, like, we were trying to schedule a podcast and we couldn't because she was at Big Sky. And then I was like, man, I really like to hear about that because I've heard good things about it before. And man, that completely changes things, because then I can use my money for a hotel and maybe skiing, you know, or whatever. But that sounds very exciting. That's very good news. So.
I have one question for you, Dr. Saylor. I know that I've heard, or I've gotten some of the invites for it to pay for. There's some CEUs on a cruise ship. Is that something that you have done, seen, heard about? I think that's always sounds really cool. You go while you're at sea, you go get some education in, and then, you know, you go on some excursions or something.
Yeah, that sounds really neat. I've got some friends from just about 45 minutes south of me that have done several of those, and they love them. It's a husband and wife athletic trainer team, and they make that their vacation. So they're getting their CEUs, and they're getting a cruise too. So sounds pretty neat. Wish they'd invite me to come speak on it or something.
Right? Come on, you're the president of the NAT. Yeah. Let's go. We got to get this together, whoever cruise ship you are. So, all right. Dr. Saylor, you just recently got back from Japan. So can you tell me a little bit more about that trip?
So it was really a neat opportunity to go to Japan. The Japanese Athletic Trainers Organization turned 20 years old. And they were started, obviously, 20 years ago. But really, the interesting thing about JADO, they're not only an official affiliate member of the NATA, but they also, in order to be a JADO member, you have to be an NATA member. So essentially, it's like having another 11th district kind of in Japan. This year, their meeting was in Tokyo, it was in Tokyo. Tokyo's big, though. So, they had over 200 people attend, which is the biggest meeting that they've ever had. They inducted someone into Jiro, who is their founder and the first athletic trainer ever in Japan. He over 20 years ago, he came back to Japan from University of Michigan, and they inducted him into their Hall of Fame, which was really cool to be there and experience that. They're really looking forward to the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020, and have asked me to make sure that our American athletic teams that travel over there realize that they're a resource there for them, and they'd be more than willing to help. Because the interesting thing about the Japanese athletic trainers, as compared to the Japanese other healthcare entities like judo therapists and, you know, massage therapists and acupuncturists and stuff, those other professions can train right there in Japan. But athletic trainers, they have to come to the United States to get training. So just by design, that they're bilingual. So it's really helpful. They're a healthcare professional that also is bilingual and understands athletic medicine, that type of thing. So I think they can be a real, real helpful to kind of be a liaison to our teams as they go over there and compete in the 2020 Olympics. So it'll be interesting. Got a chance to go see the footprint of the national stadium where the opening ceremonies will be and a lot of the competitions and things. And it's a lot of dirt right now with some berms, but they were working, had a lot of machinery down there working. It was really neat. So it was great opportunity to be there. They treated me so well. Just would make sure that I was always had somebody with me to help make sure I got from place to place and understood what was going on and that type of thing. It was just a great, they're great colleagues over there in Japan.
How many people were there as part of the Japanese Athletic Trainers Organization?
So they had over 200 people attend their meeting, but they did an interesting thing. They did a two-day meeting, and day one was really about where they invited other professions to come in. Some of those were coaches, some were acupuncturists or massage therapists or whatever. And then they did some kind of basic educational sessions with them to kind of help them understand kind of this same thing we were talking about earlier, this interprofessional deal, that because athletic trainers, while we think we're not completely understood in the United States, they're really not understood in Japan. Especially they've only been around there for 20 years. So they like to bring in these other groups so they can show them that they're knowledgeable in these different areas. So that was day one, and they had a good turnout for that. But day two are really all the JADO members, and they're the ones that have come to the United States. They graduated from a program here and are certified. So it was really neat. It was great turnout. It continues to get bigger and bigger every year.
Very cool. I know we, last year when I talked to Dr. Merrick, he mentioned the international accreditation, and I was actually planning on talking to him this year a little bit more, but he said, you know, it's still too preliminary to have a full conversation about. And so I look forward to, in the future, hearing more about that, where, you know, the Ireland and Japan, they have their own the school, and they can, you know, be accredited there. And so building out.
I've got a little update on that. You know, Dr. Merrick would be a better... will be the definitive source, but I will tell you some things that have been in the works. Even as recent as a couple weeks ago, the Athletic Trainer Educators Conference was held in Dallas a couple weeks ago, and there was a contingency there from some universities in Spain. And they met with our international representatives, Mark Gibson, who's chair of our international committee, for NATA. They met with KD representatives. They may have met with some other shiner. I wasn't able to be at the meeting. It was the day before I got to town, but they reviewed kind of the accreditation standards with these faculty from Spain, and it looks like they're very close to being able to implement all of the accreditation standards. So it would not be, it would probably, if I was placing bets right now, I'd say Spain will have one of the first international accredited programs. So a lot of details to work out there, but they said it was really interesting because a lot of the stuff that was kind of new to us with accredited programs, a lot of this outcomes measures and things like that, that's stuff that they've been having to do as part of their programs there for years. So they're a lot closer just because they're national structure kind of has required some of these standards to already be in place for educational institutions, not for athletic training necessarily, but for educational institutions. So, and I'm headed over in 2 weeks, I'm headed over to a meeting in Monaco with the International Olympic Committee. Well, actually, they're having a conference. I'm not like meeting with the International Olympic Committee, but they're having a meeting on sports safety in Monaco. And I'm going to stay an extra several days and go down to Barcelona and Madrid. And it looks like I'll probably speak at a couple different universities there and talk about how we implement programs here in the United States to just try to help them out a little bit. They're also hosting the next meeting of WFAT, the World Federation of Athletic Training and Therapy, is being held in Spain, I believe, next fall. I can't remember exactly when the next one's coming up, but I think we may see a lot of activity coming out of Spain.
All right. So since we're celebrating National Athletic Training Month, Dr. Scott Saylor, we've talked about your favorite CEU opportunities. If there's an athletic trainer you want to thank, who's that going to be?
Yeah, well, probably the guy that's been most influential in my life is a guy that unfortunately has passed on, but his name's Ed Ferreira. And Ed was a mentor to me as an undergraduate student. And then when I got a chance to come back to my alma mater here at Fresno State, Ed was still on staff here. And so as a young professional, he really helped me, kind of figure out how to make this whole thing work. And I owe him a great deal. Actually, him and Paul Schechter, who were the two guys that hired me when I came back to Fresno State, just taking a chance on me, I really owe them a lot. And fortunately, Paul's still alive, so I get to tell him that, but Ed's not. And but he knew it. I made sure that he was aware before, all along the way, because he was that kind of guy, just very, very helpful in mentoring.
All right, very cool. Sean, do you have an athletic trainer you would like to thank?
Probably, yes, David Gish, who was actually one of our SWATA district, was coming in as president right before he passed away, was the head athletic trainer at Texas State when I went there. Just an outstanding guy and a phenomenal mentor with, just so much love for the profession and care for SWATA and the NATA and our profession as a whole. So, and just teaching you how to be a good athletic trainer and deal with the issues that you're going to do, that you're going to have.
I've had a lot of...
I had an opportunity to meet David, and I would agree 100% with you. I had a special opportunity to be able to learn from him too.
Oh, most definitely. It was pretty cool. So, and especially to know how much he has helped a lot of athletic trainers, especially here in Texas, but all over the world. I mean, he's a pretty great guy. So,
I've had a lot of supervising athletic trainers. I think there was 3 while I was in high school, 4 while I was in college. So, growing up, there wasn't like a single person, but I think the one person that has been most like a father figure in athletic training to me is probably Bob Marley. He does.
Well, if you're, I didn't even know he was athletic trainer.
Well, not this
reggae.
A different one. This is a tall, bald, white guy.
Okay. Yeah,
completely different from the Bob Marley. But Bob Marley is actually going to be on the podcast on Friday with Sean and Bubba. He's the go-to guy. If you need anything, you call Bob. If you need to know anything or anybody, he's always willing to help or point you in the right direction. And so throughout my years at college and as a young professional, I'd say he's the one person that has been most like a father figure in athletic training for me. And so, Bob, thank you very much. All right. Dr. Saylor, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's going to be the best way to do that?
Probably email, because I travel a lot and email follows me everywhere I go. So my email is ssaylor, so it's Saylor with 2 S's. So S-S-A-I-L-O-R at – I just paused for a second because my email address just changed as of last Friday. We went to a new system. So my new email address is ssaylor at mail, which is M-A-I-L, dot fresnostate.edu.
All right, ssaylor at mail.fresnostate.edu. So,
yes.
So real quick, are they doing like some sort of transition? Because if you've had that same email for a long time, nobody's going to be able to get hold of you.
Well, the old email is being forwarded to the new email for, I don't know how long they said, but quite a while. But they said, try to give out the new one whenever you can so that you start getting people to transition over to the new one. Just thought about it. I probably have to do new business cards now.
Yep.
Oh, well.
See, there you go. Great. I'm glad I could remind you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Sean Reedy. Somebody wants to go to you.
Sean Reedy _ATC on Twitter and Sean Reedy ATC at gmail.com.
All right, fantastic. Victor, thanks for joining us on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Today is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/favorites, where we've talked with Dr. Scott Saylor, president of the NATA, to kick off National Athletic Training Month and learn about some favorite CEU opportunities in that big sky, and Montana is free. So now I'm going to have to figure out how to get a week off of work in January. So that's my new objective. So you've derailed every productive thing I was going to be doing, Dr. Saylor. So thank you very much.
Glad I could help.
And on Twitter, I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson. And for everybody here on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, that is a wrap.